So can we have paralysis by analysis? Yes, it's definitely possible. See, the mode of goodness and the mode of ignorance look very similar. So in both there is no action, but in mode of goodness the mind is in control and is being directed constructively. In the mode of ignorance the mind is in control and is directing destructively. So Prabhupada did not translate bhakti simply as devotion, he translated it as devotional service. That's why we have to do action practically. So I would say that we can't live too much in our head. We have to practically serve Krishna. And to the extent we practically serve Krishna, to that extent we stay on the spiritual path. And how much analysis we do, that will depend on individual needs. So you see, in the tradition, there was the oral tradition and there was the written tradition. The written tradition was primarily by scholars for scholars. That means, say, Balde Vidya Bhushan would write books, Vishnu Chakravarti would write books. They're written primarily by scholars for other scholarly devotees. For most common people, they learned about scripture, they learned about bhakti wisdom primarily by hearing the local sadhus, and the oral tradition was the primary way that they learned. So generally people are not very intellectual. And the oral tradition is where they learn through. And in that there is some level of analysis. And beyond that, if you go into Jiva Goswami Satsandarbhas, if you go into Balde Vidya Bhushan's Govinda Bhashya, there is extraordinary levels of analysis there. Very intricate. But that is required for some people. It's not that everybody in the past was reading Govinda Bhashya. It's a very, very technical book. But for those who need it, those who are inclined to study Vedanta Sutra, they want to know how does Vedanta Sutra lead to bhakti. And we have those resources available. So we have to see whether our analysis is helping us to move closer towards Krishna, or whether it is just exhausting us or distracting us. So for those who can use analysis for Krishna's service, they can not only become attracted to Krishna towards that analysis, or become more committed to practicing the bhakti by which they will become attracted to Krishna, but they can also attract other analytical people towards Krishna. It's just like in kirtans. Now some people, they're so good at kirtans that they sing the kirtan in such a tune that kirtan is a performance, not a participation. You just can't follow that tune, you know, what is going on? It's beautiful. It's beautiful, it's marvelous. But it is not something which everybody can learn. And if everybody thinks, you know, hey, to do kirtan means I have to sing in this tune, I can't do that. But there are people who are musically inclined, they will just enjoy that so much. And that's the way we use our creativity in Krishna's service. Now, there is one of the characteristics of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, as explained, as revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that it is very kavyatmak, artistic poetry. Writing that has been a very prominent characteristic of the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. So, as Rupa Goswami has written something called Chitra Kavitavani. Chitra Kavitavani is, you know, it's visually graphic poetry. So for example, you know, he has written several verses. There is a verse about Govardhan Leela. And it just uses two syllables. The verse is Dhare dhara dhar dharam dhara dhar dhurarudi dhira dhira radha di rodam radha dhuram dharam. Now this is just dha and ra, two sounds, that's all. There is nothing else. I need to construct that. There's nothing like that in English at all. You know, you construct a whole verse using just two words. And in fact, there is one verse which is whole verse is only one syllable. No. It is described, this is a prayer which is offered by Brahmaji to Krishna after he has realized that I tried to test Krishna and Krishna exposed me. So that verse is Ninun nanonanam nunam nanun no nanano nanu nanano nun nanau nanano nunam nunan nananano nanu. Now, for Rupa Goswami, it may well have taken hours and hours, you know. It's like if you look at this verse and look at the Sanskrit dictionary, it's like, okay, how does this word mean this? It's like you have to go into second level, third level, fourth level Sanskrit dictionary to find out. It's a very esoteric meaning of the word. So what is he doing? He is using that poetic creativity in Krishna's service. Now for some people, these verses are just tongue twisters. So what do you do with this? And I was telling one devotee, the couple's daughter, this verse. She was enjoying it very much. And the mother and father was also there. They also reciting the verse together. And the Mataji told, probably, you know, in the future when I get angry with you and I don't want to talk with you, I'll recite this verse. So there is the capacity to use whatever we have in Krishna's service. So that was the time when if you see, this sort of Kavyatmak Sanskrit was very prominent. Chitra Kavitvani was done by various different people. In fact, there was one poet, he's written a full book. If you read it from front to back, it is Ramayana. If you read it from back to front, it is Mahabharata. In English, that is called palindrome. Palindrome means, you know, you read the word opposite, then it comes out the same. But nobody has written a full book in the form of palindrome. So how do you do that? So now, the point is that if the contemporary ethos, when the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition was, that you exhibit your devotion, you exhibit your intelligence by being linguistically creative, then our acharyas showed that they could be creative like that and glorify Krishna. So bhakti always has to be presented in the language, in the value system, in the ethos of the contemporary culture. Only then it will be attracted to that contemporary culture. So our acharyas are expert in doing that. And is that analysis or paralysis? When today, that's not what the frame of reference is. We may feel, I don't need this, and that's true. But if today the frame of reference is different, then whatever is the frame of reference, we have to use that. So yes, today our minds, there are many devotees who journal. And they use journaling to grow, to analyze, to deprocess the issues of their mind. So I asked one senior Srila Prabhupada disciple, I said, you know that, is there any example of our acharyas doing any journaling? So he was telling me that, the characteristic of Kali Yuga is upadrutaha. He is himself a Srila Prabhupada disciple, very scholarly, and journals every day. So he told me that the mind is very disturbed. He says, when our acharyas lived at that time, the world was not that complicated. The society was not that complicated. And the minds were not that disturbed. So if by journaling somebody is helped to focus the mind on Krishna and to become better devotees of Krishna, then they can do that. Now somebody else, they don't need it. What do you sit in hours and write a journal? They don't need it, they don't need it. If you need it, you use it. We have to individually see whether that activity is taking us closer to Krishna. So he told me that he has written his will that when he dies along with him, all his journals should be burnt. I said, why is that? I asked. He said, there's a lot of anger in those journals. So I processed my anger through those journals. So now is it that advanced devotee cannot have anger? Well, anger comes, but they don't express their anger. They don't let the anger get carried away. They find a way to deal with that. So we have to see that if we are doing something, is it helping us move towards Krishna? Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction of Nectar of Instruction towards the end, he says, once we come to the mode of goodness, how to advance further will be revealed from within. So if we have been practicing bhakti steadily, then we will ourselves understand, is doing this helping me grow in my bhakti? Or is this something I am being self-indulgent, just wasting my time doing this? So that way we can observe, we can evaluate, we can consult other devotees and then see whether this is helping us grow in our devotion. If it is, we adopt it. If it doesn't, then we can stop it. Okay? So.